Now then, tonight, I got a message God wants me to bring to you. And I thought I was going to get by without having to preach this time, but it looks like I'm going to have to do it anyhow. In the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and unto the utmost part of the earth. When he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. While they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven, so shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. They returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is in Jerusalem, a 7 days' journey. When they were come in, they went up into an upper room where there abode Peter, James, and John, and Andrew, Philip, and so on. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with the brethren. Now then, look at the second chapter. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared to them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. There was dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. They were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all of these which speak Galileans? How hear we ever man in our own tongue wherein we were born? May we pray. Our Father, tonight, we are conscious of the need of your power in this hour. Oh God, forgive all of the sins that you see in our lives and cleanse us and purge us. We pray, Heavenly Father, that your Spirit shall so overcome this service that we'll all be glad that we was in the house of God. Take thy servant, Lord, and loose his tongue and illuminate his mind and give him holy unction. Give him power to rightly divide the word of truth. And we pray, Heavenly Father, tonight, the Holy Spirit shall have full sway. And we'll be grateful to you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk to you tonight about the power that came on the day of Pentecost. The power that came on the day of Pentecost. I want you to realize four things had to happen before this power came. Before the day of Pentecost comes, some things had to take place. First of all, they had to get rid of Judas. Because Judas didn't want anything to be done to glorify God. He began to complain when the woman gave the ointment to anoint Jesus. Said it ought to be given to the poor folks. You can't have a revival with a bunch of skinflint, tight-fisted God robbers. So as a result, had to get rid of the Judases. Because that he wouldn't want a revival break out. A revival is a costly thing. Covetousness can't inherit in the kingdom of God. Selfishness can't get us anywhere with God. And naturally, he didn't want a revival to come because it cost him something. And a lot of Baptists don't want a revival. It cost them something. Financially, socially, and a lot of other ways. Then he had to get rid of the fishermen. Peter said, I'm going fishing. The rest of them said, we're going with you. And went down there and fished all night and got nothing. And until Jesus came on the scene, they wasn't getting anything. But when Jesus got a hold of them and cast the net where he said cast it, then they got the fish. Simply said, lovest thou me more than these, to Peter? Then follow me. And like somebody said today, Peter said, I'll follow you, but what about old John? He said, that's none of your business. If you're going to get into us, get in it. And you're going to say, well, what about that Baptist church? And what about this fellow? And what about that fellow? None of your business. If you're going to have a revival, let's have it. Whether they like it or whether they don't. Have it anyhow. Consecration had to take place. Jesus, the word of God said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, whole and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. See, God's never been unreasonable. He's not an unreasonable God, you see. For example, he tells us, my friends, that take for example, he just asked a tithe of our increase. He could have asked 90% and made you live on the 10. He's reasonable. He asked for one day out of 7. That's reasonable. So we stopped to realize, my friends, then he had to get rid of the doubters. Thomas said, I don't believe it. And I won't believe it. Unless I can put my finger in the nail prints and lay my hand in the pierced side. While he's bragging, Jesus come in and Thomas fell down and said, my Lord, my God. And he said, because of the hardness of your hearts and unbelief, Jesus could do no mighty works. He can't work with hard hearts and unbelief. Had to get rid of the unbelievers and the hard-hearted and the doubters like Thomas. Then had to get rid of the high seat seekers. Two of the disciples wanted to sit next to Jesus. Mother said, let my son sit next to him. Said, I'll not do it. Said, if you want to know who's going to sit up closest to my father, it's the one that's the greatest servant. And a lot of folks want the high seat, but they don't want to get out there and serve. You have to get rid of all that kind of spirit. High seat seekers and the doubters and the worldly fishers and the covetous people. And then a revival can come. Now, all those things took place for the Pentecost come. First of all, my friends, when the power came on the day of Pentecost, there were some things I want to call your attention to. The first thing was, he said, ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the utmost parts of the earth. Tarry ye till the power comes. Now, the power that came on the day of Pentecost, if you please, my friends, it was double-tongued that came on them. Holy fire and hell fire. And we stopped to realize they all, on the day of Pentecost, is looking for the power of God. The whole church is there, 120 members. And they all got in one accord and one mind and one spirit. Then the power came. And we're going to have the power of God on us. We're going to have to get in one mind and one spirit. And then the power of God will come. We look, if you please, there in the scripture. He tells us, my friends, and when the day of Pentecost fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Now, some things that the power came on the day of Pentecost was not. I'll tell you what it was. But at the same time, I want to tell you what it was not. What it is not, my friends, it's not to make you feel good. It's not to make you have some kind of a spell. My friends, it's not to make you feel like shouting or doing something like that. God never intended it for it to be like that. It wasn't for that purpose. And so you just keep that in mind. God isn't going to fill you up just to blow your whistle. They go out here and get a train and get it all fired up. And they don't fire that train up just to run up and down the track to blow its whistle, ring its bell. They build a track between two cities. And then that train carries passengers and baggage and freight from one city to the other. Now there's no harm in blowing your whistle and ringing your bell if you're carrying anything. But just run the train up and down the track to blow your whistle, ring your bell, no good. And God just isn't going to fill you up the Holy Spirit to blow your whistle, ring your bell. But if you want to bring some passengers into the glory of God and bring in some freight for God, then God will let you blow your whistle and ring your bell so they'll know you're coming. And you need to realize that. And I want you to realize, my friends, there's nothing in the scripture that teaches you that you, because you get filled with the Holy Ghost and get the power of God on you, make you shout. That's not what it's for. Now there's only two grounds for you to shout on. He doesn't say a thing in the scripture about shouting because the Holy Ghost is on you. You know what the shouting, scriptural shouting grounds are? Let me read them to you. So you'll know. In the book of Luke, the 10th chapter, you find these words in the 20th verse. Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your name is written in heaven. You're not to shout because you can handle snakes and walk on scorpions. You're not to shout because you can drink poison that don't hurt you. Shout because your name's written in heaven. The reason he said that is this. You might hit some old snake you couldn't handle. You might drink the wrong kind of poison and it'll knock you out. But my friends, your name's always in heaven. Nothing that defileth and nothing that maketh a lie shall enter therein. God doesn't have any erasure. The ones that does have erasure can't get into erasure name. So it's there. And any time you need to shout, you just cut her loose. Cause your name's written in the heaven, then that scripture rises for shouting. And he said, in that hour Jesus rejoiced in the spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. He said, now the wise folks and other folks don't know about it, but you that are children know your name's written up there, and so you can shout about it. Amen. Now that scripture grounds for shouting. Then there's another scripture ground in the 6th chapter of Luke. And the 22nd verse. Blessed are you when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in that day. What day? When men shall hate you, berate you, disgrace you, and discredit you, and disapprove you, and reprove you, rebuke you, and so on. And when they do that and won't have anything to do with you, then rejoice in that day and leap for joy. For behold, your reward is great in heaven, for in like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. Amen. Now you see, the first time you shout cause your name's written in heaven. And if they disapprove and criticize and fight and sidle off, won't have no company you because of that, he said, have a jumping shouting spell. Leap with joy. Jump up and down and shout then. So, my friends, you've always got scripture ground for shouting. Always. dare not. Your name's up there. You get shouting cause your name's in heaven, and they'll get to disapproving you and criticizing you and hating you and berating you, disgracing you cause you do. Then you take your jumping shouting spell. Jesus rejoiced. He shouted about it. Then if he shouted about it, I can shout too. So the power that came on the day of Pentecost wasn't to make you shout. Wasn't to make you happy. You got happy when you got your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And that gave you scripture right to shout. And if the crowd gets against you, then you got another right. And so we go back and look in Matthew also. The book of Matthew tells you something. Let me call your attention to the 5th chapter of the book of Matthew. Hear these words. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. When they abuse you and misuse you and criticize you and all of that, he said rejoice, you're getting a bigger payroll in heaven because they're doing it to you. So you get to shout cause your name's in heaven. Then you get to shout cause folks make fun of you, won't have nothing to do with you. Then you get to shout for getting your payroll bigger. He said it increases your rewards. And if I ain't enough to shout about, shout cause your name's up there and you can't be erased. And shout because they're hating you and reviling you. And then shout because your pay is being increased. You're getting a bigger bank account. That's plenty to shout about. You don't have to go around hunting something else to blow your whistle about. Just shout it. That's it. I'm in the book, folks. Then I want you to realize, my friends, something else. And that is, I want you to realize something else. If the Holy Spirit was not a gift. My friends, you already had the gift. He said it creates you with several abilities. And he said in the book of Romans that you have the calling and the gift without repentance. When God created you, he created you with a gift in you. And he created you with a calling in you. And that's already in there. All you do is get right with God, and that all takes action. Amen. And so, my friends, you don't have to hunt for the gift. It's already in there. The calling's already in there. He's already given you the ability. You don't have to answer for that. What you need to do is get the power of God in there and get it on the go. Just like a locomotive sitting down here. The boiler's full of water and the firebox is full of coal or oil, and the train's sitting there. And there's fire in it, but it's not moving because the fire is just simmering. You pull open the vent door and let the air begin to hit it, and the flames go up around that boiler. And then she creates a bunch of hot steam. And you pull open the throttle and that hot steam begin to hit those cold pistons. Chug, chug, she's gone. So, my friends, what you need to do is to open the draft doors and let the Spirit of God hit in the fire of God and turn on your steam. You got plenty of water in your boiler. If you've been saved, you got plenty of water. He said he'd make it a well of water bubbling up. That means it's hot water bubbling. Putting off steam. You ready to go then? So I want you to realize, my friends, it was not the power that came on the day of Pentecost was not to perform miracles. Because the book of the miracles was performed before the day of Pentecost. For 3.5 years, Jesus performed miracles. Jesus is your miracle performer. He's the one that's healed everybody. He's the one that's cured everybody. He's the one that's raised the dead, not the Holy Spirit. And so, my friends, the power that came on the day of Pentecost wasn't to perform miracles. The book of your miracles is already there. Go back in the book of Matthew and look in the 10th chapter. You have these words. 10th chapter of Matthew, 8th verse. And as you go preach saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils, freely you receive, freely give. That before the day of Pentecost, when he said heal folks, cast out devils, raise the dead, do this and do that, that's for the day of Pentecost. My friends, Holy Spirit, don't perform miracles. Jesus is your miracle performer. He's the one that does the work for you. And so as a result, the power that came on the day of Pentecost was not for the purpose of performing miracles. Not was the purpose to give gifts. They're already there. We have the gifts when God creates us with the ability to do the things He created us to do. Then it's not the eradication of the carnal nature. A lot of folks think the power that came on the day of Pentecost made them perfect. Sinless. Ain't so. It's not so. You can't prove it made them sinless. My friends, we got a lot of folks running around preaching sinless perfection. But I read in my Bible where it says, beloved, that sin is to blame for death. And until these guys hollering sin is perfection quit dying, I won't believe a thing they say. If they're sinless and perfect, have no sin, how come them to die? One of them went all over this country preaching he was sinless and perfect. Died out here in Texas at 32 years of age. What killed him? Until them birds quit dying, I don't believe nothing they say. Sin's what kills you. If you get without sin, you won't die. You'll be gone. We won't see you no more. The flesh, my friends, is not perfected. The flesh still has that old nature in it. And I want you to realize tonight that the power that came on the day of Pentecost didn't change their flesh. Hear me? All of them fellows died. So they wasn't sinless. They wasn't perfect. That proves, my friends, it wasn't for that purpose. Then it wasn't for cleansing from sin. Power that came on the day of Pentecost wasn't cleansing them from sin. The Word of God, according to the book of Ephesians, what cleanses from sin, not the Holy Spirit. And we stopped to realize it was not, my friends, if you please, for the purpose of speaking in unknown tongues. My friends, the power that came on the day of Pentecost did not bring about unknown tongues. This is where the unknown tongue stopped and the known tongue got started. Okay, look at it. Let me read it to you. When the day of Pentecost fully come, they were all with one accord and one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. And it filled one corner of the house. Oh no, filled all of the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. And it set up on two or three good old brothers and sisters been seeking tongues. That ain't what the second chapter of Acts saying. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they appeared unto them cloven tongues like a fire. And set up on each of them. All 120. The tongues set upon each of them. Then they were two or three. Been seeking a long time. Got filled with the Holy Ghost. That ain't what it said. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Every last one in there. The whole 120. Every one of them. That's what God said. He said they all got full. All got filled. Not just some old brother or sister sitting off in the corner trying to get it. But the tongue set upon each one of them. And then all of them was filled. The whole house was filled. All right, watch it. And began to speak with other tongues. T-O-N-G-U-E-S. Plural. Other tongues. Not unknown tongue, but other tongues. As the Spirit gave them utterance. And they were dwelling At Jerusalem, Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now, when this is noise abroad, the multitude came together and was confounded. What confounded them? Because that every man heard them speak in his own language. They were all amazed and marveled, saying one another, behold, are not all of these which speak Galileans? How hear we ever man in our own tongue wherein we were born? This is where the unknown tongue stopped. And the known tongue got started. All of these were Galileans in that church. And they wasn't understanding a thing they said. But when the Holy Ghost got a hold of them, they started talking a language that everybody understood. A language of their mother tongue. Not only their language, but the language of the mother tongue. They understood everything that is said. Now I want you to know, my friends, the unknown tongue started back yonder at the Tower of Babel. Bunch of folks didn't want to go the Jesus way to heaven. The foundation for the foundation of the world, Jesus planned to save them. But they said, no, we'll not do it. We'll build us a tower and we'll go up in the tower. And walk over on God in heaven. And God touched their tongues and they went to chattering like a bunch of geese. And the Tower of Babel went to pot. Wasn't ever big. Now you hear this preacher tonight. Wherever you find tongue talkers, it's the offspring of the Babel. Amen. Towers of Babel. You know why? They're telling you if you don't talk tongues, you'll go to hell. It's nothing about Jesus. If you don't live a sinner's life, you won't get to heaven. That's a lie. You're saved through Jesus Christ, not talking tongues and not living sinner's life. Jesus saves and not sinner's perfection. Amen. And not talking tongues. You listen to this preacher. I don't care what kind of crowd, what kind of brand of denomination there are. Wherever you find tongue talkers, you find them preaching works for salvation. Hey, preaching works salvation. You have to do certain things or not do certain things in order to be saved. Well, that ain't the Jesus way. He does the saving. You don't do nothing. You receive him and he saves you. As many as receive him, God gave them power to be the sons of God. Why? Because he received them. So you just remember, wherever you find tongue talkers, check their religion. And they believe you can be saved one day and lost the next. They don't believe Jesus saves. They believe their works and their sins perfection. Their tongue jabbing does it. No wonder God lets them quack around. He don't want people to hear the mess and understand it. You say, oh, but I know some folks got the power of God. They can talk tongues. Old Balaam's ass talked tongues. I guess he had the Holy Ghost. Talking tongues don't prove nothing. But oh, but preacher. Yes, I know what you're thinking. But my friends, I want you to know one thing. These people understood everything you said. You say, but oh, Mr. Ray, they have power. They can heal folks. Well, that don't prove nothing. I know a fellow that was paralyzed from his waist down, went to Mayo's Clinic, John Hopkins University, went all over to all the clinics. Big rancher here. And none, all of them said he'd be paralyzed the rest of his life. He's a rancher. And his boys had to put him in a chair and carry him wherever he went, and then put him in the car. He wanted to go to the cattle sale. They put him in the car and carried the chair, and when they got to the cattle barn, where the auction on cattle, put him in the wheelchair, roll him in the auction barn, and carried him and set him up on the bleachers up here. And the cattle would be drove through a place down there, and folks standing up here sitting up there bid on him. There he sat in the chair, paralyzed, had been for years. And they drove an old Holstein bull through that, weighed about 1,800 pounds. His bones were sticking out, his hair was dirty, and he just drunk too like he's about to die. Nobody wouldn't bid on him. Auctioneer winked at his heifer, and he put the hot stick to him. That old bull whirled around. Somebody bid on him, but drooped again. Nobody wanted him. The auctioneer winked to his heifer, and he put the hot stick on him twice. That old bull got mad. He pawed up dirt. He whirled around and broke and run right up through the bleachers and run right towards that fellow's in the wheelchair, and he jumped up and outran everybody else. That bull healed him. So that don't prove anything. He said, there'll be men that come up in the last day and say, we've cast out devils in your name, we've done this, and he said, depart from me. I never knew. That meant they've never been saved. You don't follow nobody because they can perform miracles, talk tongues, and got gifts. You follow Jesus. He's the Savior. And I want you to realize, my friends, tonight, there's a great truth in here I want you to get. God never leaves the gate open. When Jesus was born, he didn't let Joseph tell it. He didn't even let the king announce it. You know who he sent to announce the birth of Jesus? Gabriel. God's announced angel. And he come down and made the announcement, had a great choir of angels with him. Why? He knew if Joseph told it, if the king told it, any man told it, they'd say it was a lie. But you see, he foolproofed it. God sent an angel to tell about the birth of Jesus. He didn't let nobody around here tell it. And that fool proved it. Now I hear a lot of people say that Jesus wasn't born of the Virgin Mary. I wish they'd tell Gabriel that. I'd like to see what happened to him. Cause old Gabriel told Zacharias he's gonna have a son, he's gonna name him John. He said, how do I know you're Gabriel? He said, you won't say nothing else. He gets here and you name him John. Who's that guy come? And John was born. He won't name him Zachariah or something else. And then they let him write his name down. When he wrote down his name, it's John. He can talk again. I wish some fool accused Gabriel of lying about the birth of Jesus. I'd love to see what kind of experience he has. God foolproofs everything. Then let me ask you something. When the veil was rented in the temple, how was it torn? From top to bottom. Why? So some fool couldn't say some fella got scared and run through it and tore it. God foolproofs everything he does. And there's no question about it. All right. Watch it. The power came on the day of Pentecost. And God foolproofed everything. All right, watch it. The church had all got in one accord, one mind, one spirit. Now, Pentecost didn't produce a revival. There's already in a revival. They was in the temple praising God day and night. They didn't go nowhere to nothing else. There's all there. The whole church is there praising God continually, day and night. Now, when you get a church, all the members doing that, you having revival, whether you know it or not. There's already having revival. Power of Pentecost didn't produce that. It's already having revival. And God said, you wait till the power comes on you, then I'm going to send you Judea, Samaria, and the utmost parts of the earth. Watch it. When the power came on that church, Not before. But when it came upon all the members of that church, there were devout men out of every nation under heaven. Not a bunch of hippies and hoppies and hoodlums, but devout men from every nation, honest men, truthful men, respectable men. How come I'm there? There's there but divine appointment. God knew what he's going to do. He had the stage set. And when this thing all got set, God had told that bunch of men, you'll hear a sound and you go in and get what I got for you. And when the power came, there was a great noise. And the crowds gathered. When the signal went out, these men, devout men from every nation on earth, they were their divine appointment, not accidentally or because it was a populated like it was. But these men are sent there from God. Now you watch it. When they came in, every man heard them in his own language. Not only the national language, but the language they learned around their mama's knee. And they were all amazed. Look, are not all of these one nationality? Are not all of these Galileans? How here we have a man in our own language? See? You know what happened? God had a representative group from this nation. They heard the message of the church. God had a representative group from another nation. They heard the message of the church. Understood every word of it. Here's another from another nation. That group of men heard the message. And understood every word of it. Here's some from another nation. Understood every word of it. Their mother tongue language. They understood it all. And then God sent them back to their nations and carried the message. Therefore, every nation on the sun had a message at that time. That fool proved it. This little nation couldn't point the finger at God and say, we never heard it. God sent some messengers. Those devout men went back to the nation and told them in their own mother language, the gospel. You see, this church now has gone in Judea, Samaria, and unto the utmost parts of the earth and carried the message. One nation didn't get the message. You say, hold it, preacher. Okay, while I hold it, I'll doctor you up a little. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations, and kindreds, and people, and tongue, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, and palms in the hand, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. Amen. Where were they from? Somebody out of every nation under heaven, every language, every tongue, everything else. Where'd they get the message? From these representatives of the church that went back after the day of Pentecost. God's appointed men, God's devout men, God's representative crowd got the message, carried it back, and every nation got it. And no nation ever point the finger at God and say we didn't have a chance. So somebody run around here saying, well, what about the poor folks that didn't have no chance at the gospel? Well, you can drop that mess. God got it to every nation on the face of the earth. That's what he said to the church. Get the message unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And God helped them do it. He had devout men out of every nation, not accidentally, by divine appointment. God had them there. And God had them to hear it in their own language. And he sent them back to tell it. And that moves the accusation of God off. Nobody can say God didn't give them a chance. Now that nation shut God out and and preach it. Thank God for. He had it one time. And when the judgment comes, they'll have to face it. So I want you to know, my friend, that this is not unknown tongue to you. This, they didn't understand the Galileans as unknown tongue. God stops the unknown tongues and makes them preach and teach in the known language of the mother nature. Everybody heard it. That's what they marveled at. Notice. They were all amazed, were in doubt, saying one another, what meaneth this? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with 11, lifted his voice and said to them, ye men of Judah, all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass. In the last day saith God, I'll pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I'll pour out in those days of my spirit. And they shall prophesy. All right. What is it? They said, why, these folks are drunk. Not so. It's just 9 o'clock in the morning. They hadn't time to get on a bender yet, Peter said. This is that was spoken of by Joel the prophet. Now I want you to realize, my friends, here's where tongues ceased. The message of God got out to the world. And so God is no longer responsible, and no point accusing finger ever say to God, I didn't have a chance. Yes, you had it. Every nation. That's what he said. Tear Jerusalem till the power comes, then go unto Judea, Samaria, and unto the utmost parts of the earth, and bless God when his own with they went. All these nations, they went back home and declared the message. So I want you to realize, my friends, I want you to know one thing. That is, the power that came on the day of Pentecost was not to perform miracles, not to get sinless, not to talk unknown tongues, but start talking tongues understood, to reveal Christ. Now look back over in the book of John, chapter 16. Let Jesus say something. Do you think I'm off the beam? 16th chapter of John, 13th verse. I guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath of mine, therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. What? He said when the Holy Spirit comes, he won't be talking about himself. He'll be talking about me. He'll be telling you about me. And my friends, if they couldn't understand what he's saying, how's he going to tell them about Jesus? I never heard any of these tongue talkers, interpreters of the tongues, say anything that he's talking about Jesus. It's always something else they're talking about. But you keep one thing in mind. Said when he comes, he'll speak of me. And you hear folks say, I got the gifts of the Holy Ghost. I got the power of the Holy Ghost. I've got this and I've got that. They've got of a ghost, but not the Holy Spirit. When you get full of the Holy Spirit, you won't talk about nothing but Jesus. These disciples, when they got full of the Spirit of God, they went from house to house talking about the preacher, talking about the deacons, talking about each other, talking about the Holy Ghost. No, sir. They went from house to house preaching Jesus. Talking about Jesus. And my friends, when you get full of the Spirit of God, you're going to do nothing but brag on Jesus. You're not going to be bragging on your gifts. You're going to be bragging on God's gift. You're not going to be bragging on the Holy Spirit. You're going to be bragging on Jesus. You're not going to be bragging about yourself and your power and your gifts. You're going to be bragging about Jesus. The power that came over there at Pentecost was to let the world know. Just like when the veil was rent. From top to bottom, like when Jesus was born. Same thing. Now this settles the whole business. These men understood what was said, and they carried it back to their native nations, and they understood what was said, and the message got all out there. That's what the Holy Ghost come for. And that's what he's doing. Now then, keep this in mind. What was the power for? Give them holy boldness. Up until this time, they saw scared. Old Peter denied. But after the Holy Spirit got in old Peter, they called him up and said, by what authority? Peter put his finger on the chief priest's chin, said, by what authority? By the authority of him whom you crucified and whom God hath raised from the dead. That's like waving red flag in the bull's face, tell that Jew that. But he wasn't afraid anymore to give them holy boldness. The power of God put boldness in them. They beat him up, throw him in jail, whip him, say, now run out and get away, we beat you again. Didn't bother them. They just kept preaching Jesus. Right. And when they throw him in jail and beat him up, and they come out and said, you're going to shut up about Jesus? Said, no. The Holy Spirit filled them up, and they kept on bragging about Jesus. From house to house, they went, my friends, bragging on Jesus. Pointing out Jesus. Power to give witness. Witness, my friends, is somebody that you understand. You're my witness. But if you don't understand the witness, he's disqualified. Suppose you had a man up here on the witness stand and you were the jury and he's talking an unknown tongue. You jury say, I don't know what he's saying. Judge say, step aside. Or get an interpreter. And so Jesus said, you're my witness. They don't know what you're saying. You're not a witness. You need to step aside and take out on your little playboat. If you want to talk to Jesus, he wants folks to know what you say. Bearing witness. Not to talk about something else. Not what you know, not what you've read, but what you've experienced is what God wants you to tell. Then to give us holy sweetness. The power that came on the day of Pentecost was to give those disciples holy sweetness. They'd beat them up. They'd stone them. They'd whip them. And they'd come out sweet. Not whimpering and whining and feeling sorry for themselves. Thought old Paul down in jail, him and Silas, no doubt Silas said, isn't it rough in here? Paul said, isn't it wonderful? Suffer a little bit for him who suffered everything. If you don't mind, lead us to prayer. I'm going to start a song service and we'll tell them about it. Before we got through, the whole jail got saved. Holy sweetness. Makes our lives sweet so we won't blow up and act a fool when we're persecuted and laughed at and ridiculed. Even Jesus went as a lamb to the slaughter and opened not his mouth. Because of the suffering he was going through with, he didn't complain. You get full of the Spirit of God, you won't be whimpering and whining because of what you have to suffer. Then it give them a living, loving faith. Their faith lived in the dungeons. Their faith lived in the jails. Their faith lived under the scourge of the lash. Their faith lived through the flames of the fire. Their faith lived through stoning and dying. A living faith, a loving faith. And then to give them the urgency of the message. It was a life and death proposition of those early disciples. Everybody's going to die and go to hell if we don't get the message. And the Holy Ghost put urgency. They went from house to house, praising the Lord, revealing Christ. It was an urgency. It was an emergency that was going on. And so, my friends, the Holy Spirit gave them power of urgency, life and death importance. Then for winning souls, they had power to win men to God. And it was to fashion the Word in the men's hearts. You see, when the Spirit of God takes the Word to somebody, it fashions in there like a gig. And the more they pull on it and pull it, the worse it hurts. Like gigging a fish or gigging an animal. When they flinch and pull, it hurts, tears and hurts, and they give up. And the Holy Spirit is like a gig in the Word of God. You get it in there and it tears, and they flinch from it and it tears. Finally, they give up and surrender to Jesus. That's what the Holy Spirit's for, is to give a gig to the Word of God when it's put in there. So, my friends, I want you to realize tonight, before God, there's what, to me, the Holy Spirit is did in that early church. And it's what he wants to do in the church now and here on. Let me read it a little further. Notice he said, then my friends, Peter stood up and said, this is that was prophesied by Joel, that the last day he said, God, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men see visions. Your old men dream dreams. On my servants, on my handmaidens, I'll pour out in those days of my spirit. And they shall prophesy. What is it? He said, in the last days he'll pour his spirit out upon all flesh. Sons and daughters will prophesy. The servants, the maids will prophesy. The young men, the old men. What is prophesying? Good news. Good news. Good news is prophesying. Said they shall all prophesy. The little bitty one that's got saved going to prophesy. The old man's going to prophesy. The maids, the servants, the ignorant, the intelligent, the rich, and the poor. When the Spirit gets a hold of them, they're going to prophesy. What are they going to do? They're going to tell about Jesus. I've just got Jesus in my heart. Jesus has saved me. Jesus is my Savior. They all start matters, not ignorant, young or old. Just like the little ones got saved here last night, got up and said, Jesus saved me. Amen. They start prophesying. Amen. So the power that came on the day of Pentecost made them all start prophesying. What is it? Good news. What's the news? Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Send it across the way. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. There goes your men back to the different nations hollering, Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. And they didn't hear something. They didn't understand. They heard it from these devout men. And they went back saying, Jesus saves. Jesus saves. The world needs to find out tonight that Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Tell it when you go home. Tell it on the streets. Tell it in school. Tell it in business. Tell it. Tell it. Tell it. Jesus saves. And if you don't feel that's telling it, get on your knees and stand there. The Holy Spirit fills you up. And you get up and brag it on Jesus. 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 Jesus the Savior. If I be lifted up, not if the Holy Spirit be lifted up, not if the church be lifted up, but if I be lifted up, I'll draw. Jesus, Jesus, blessed Jesus, Savior, Lord, Redeemer, Christ, sent to seek and to save. Good news to the lost world. Go tell it, go tell it, go tell it to the world. That's the Holy Spirit. You run around out here and hunt you some Holy Ghost stuff, and you'll get a ghost, but it won't be the Holy Spirit. I see too many of them. Are you listening to this preacher? He said in the book of James, if there's any strife and divisions and confusion, it's earthly, sensual, and devilish. And you never saw tongues get in the church. It didn't bring sensual, devilish division and strife. That's the reason you know it's not the Holy Spirit. I ain't never seen church got messed up with that stuff that didn't get division and confusion and strife in it. And if you find one hadn't, tell me, I'd like to go see it a little bit. But Jesus said, when he comes, all you hear from him is about me. About me. And so if they're telling about something else, it ain't the Holy Spirit, folks. Maybe a ghost, but not the Holy Spirit. Because if it's the Holy Spirit, all he'll tell folks about is Jesus. Go tell it. Let us stand. Don't let nobody deceive you, folks. This will stand the book's test. God help you. We thank you for coming to Camp Zion. Let's all just come down here in the altar and have a prayer. All you do is just ask the Spirit of God to feed you up. Well, you tell them about nothing but Jesus. That's all the world needs to hear about is Jesus. If you get everybody breathing in Jesus, we'll be in good shape. God help you, folks. Said, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit and He lives in you. You can't find the Holy Spirit living anywhere today except in us. That's where He is. And you just asked Him to feed you up. He's already in there. Asked Him to flow you, overflow you, until you just run out like a river and tell others about Jesus. That's what we need. Brother Westbury, Brother Leon Westbury, are going to lead our prayer.
No, Father, tonight as we come to this part of the service, Lord, in these days our hearts have been strangely stirred by the moving of the Holy Ghost of God as the precious Word of God has been preached and declared to our hearts. Lord God, this message that Brother Ray has just preached on the power of Pentecost, Lord God, tonight I pray as we go from this place that every man, woman, and boy and girl will go bragging on Jesus, telling people about Jesus. Lord, help us to know how to love Jesus more. Oh, Heavenly Father, tonight help us to know how to love your dear Son and exalt Him. Lord, help us to know how to know Him and to make Him known to the world. Lord, that we might hold Him up before a lost and a dying and a hell-bound world is the only way of escape. Heavenly Father, tonight as we come in the name of your dear Son, Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you'll touch me, Father, again. Lord, I need a fresh infilling of the Holy Ghost of God. I need the touch of God. I need to go from this place tonight, Lord, with the fullness of the power of the Holy Ghost of God in my life, that I might preach the unsearchable riches of Christ Jesus across this world, Father, in the power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost, not in the words of man's wisdom. Father, I thank you for what you've done this week, for the precious souls that have been saved, for the lives that have been changed, Father, for the homes that will be rearranged when people get back to their homes from this place. I thank you, Lord, for the ministry of Camp Zion over these years, Lord, that's gone out across the world. We hear about it, Father, in other parts of the world, not only in the United States, but the power that you've generated through Camp Zion in the lives and homes and through the ministry of men and women who have been touched by this place. Father, I thank you for Brother Ray tonight. I thank you, Father God, for the preachers that have preached the Word of God. I praise your name, Lord God, for that precious Word. But above all tonight, I want to just pause tonight and say, dear Heavenly Father, I love you tonight. I love you because you love me with an everlasting love that would not let me go. And Lord Jesus, tonight I want to say thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, dear Lord, for loving an old sinner like me. Thank you for reaching down into the dregs of degradation, into the ditch of mire, and picking me up and washing me clean in your precious blood and setting me on a solid rock. Thank you, Father. Now, Lord God, I want to just say again, praise your holy name, and let us go from this place praising the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise Him, all ye saints above and below. Thank God for Jesus tonight. In His name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. God be with you till we meet again, whether it's down here or up yonder. It'll be one of the other places. Hope it'll be up there, but if not, we'll see you here.